Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 1 of our study of the book of Exodus. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Exodus chapter 33. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Exodus 33, where Moses is going to kind of bargain with the Lord just a little bit. It's a very interesting passage, but before we jump into that, let's pray today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? Speak to us and fill our hearts with the goodness of the knowledge of you. We want to know you more, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Exodus 33, starting in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." You didn't think I could do that that quick. "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you." So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. How interesting. The Lord said he was going to send an angel on with them, but he wasn't going to go with them himself. I mean, this was, of course, very, very troubling. And I mean, this is so bizarre. I mean, think about this. The Lord has been with them. He's been speaking to Moses. We're going to find out that he meets with Moses and speaks to him almost face to face on a regular basis. And now the Lord is saying, "I'm not going with you." Now, for starters, I'm not even sure what it looks like for the Lord to go with them. We generally have this idea that the Lord is in this high and lofty place. And, you know, it's not necessarily true. I'm just saying that the idea that many people have is that God is very far off. And here, it seems different. It seemed like the Lord is actually there with them. And we're going to find out here later in the chapter that, you know, that the Lord would actually descend in this cloud. And many times, you know, so far in the book of Exodus, we've seen that the angel that the Lord said he's going to send with him is in this cloud. But we're going to find out that the Lord himself actually descends from time to time in this cloud of glory that meets with Moses at the tabernacle or at the tent of meeting. And so the Lord is there. He's in their midst. He's in their presence. And even though the Lord, I mean, there's many scriptures that talk about him dwelling in the highest heavens and all these places, he's still somehow there with them. And this is one of the mysterious aspects of just where the natural and the supernatural divide is. We have we're flesh and bones, and we can see and taste and touch, and we have all these senses, and the Lord is somehow in some other place, but he's still communes and fellowships within the natural. He's a supernatural being, but he still interacts on a regular basis with the natural in these stories here. And he says, "Listen, I can't go with you anymore. I might wipe these people out." Like, you guys make me really angry. And it's not that the Lord is like fickle. I mean, these people do a lot to really provoke the Lord. And as we go through this, we've already seen as well, not everyone is doing this, but enough of them are doing it. He's like, "It didn't go well with the people in Noah's generation. It may not go well with you if we keep doing this." And Moses is going to intercede I mean, this causes a lot of grief amongst the Israelites that are still alive. Remember, they've cleansed Israel from several thousand of the wicked people that were, you know, behind the golden calf and all that kind of stuff. And so now the people that are left, they're very troubled over this, very troubled. So now Moses is going to have a conversation with the Lord. Verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua didn't want to leave this place where the presence of the Lord was. Very interesting little tidbit that I think will be important later on, past the book of Exodus. So here we see that the Lord is actually coming down and descending and meeting with Moses. And it tells us here, and I think we have some clarity. Sometimes the Bible is not clear when it makes a distinction, you know, was it an angel? Was it God himself? Does it matter? Do we know? I mean, if the angel is coming from, you know, directly from the throne of God, is it just the same as God himself? But here we see there's a distinction that the Lord is making, and he's going to send this angel with them, but also his presence comes and meets with Moses. And so there's two distinct entities here. There's an angel or the angel, and then there's God actually comes down. The Lord comes down and speaks with Moses like you would speak to a friend, something that's very foreign to every other Israelite. And as we'll find out in Deuteronomy, it's foreign to every other person in the history of the world, except for Jesus. Continuing on, verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Amazing that Moses, after all of this, is saying, "Teach me your ways." Verse 14, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." So here Moses is bargaining with the Lord at this tent of meeting. And so all of that about the tent of meeting was setting up like how this works. It's our author is letting us know about the tent of meeting because they hadn't introduced it yet. And so that's where Moses goes to meet with the Lord. And so Moses is having this face to face almost. We know it's not a face to face, but it's, you know, he's meeting with the Lord and speaking with him. I mean, clearly and audibly. And Moses says, you know, you have to go with us. You can't not go with us. You have to. He pleads with him, and the Lord says, okay. And then Moses, you know, says, hey, how will we know if you're pleased with us? And are you pleased with me? And show me your ways. I want to know how to continue pleasing you. I mean, what a very interesting thing to say. Moses has had a closer relationship with seemingly anyone else in scripture up to this point. The Lord told Moses, "I've told you my name that I didn't even tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've told you this name." You know, so Moses has a relationship like no one else has had up to this point. And Moses is still saying, I want to know you more. I want to know you better. That's the heart of someone in a very deep, intimate relationship is you can never have enough of knowing that other person. And Moses wants more of the Lord. Moses is going to make probably one of the most bold requests in all of Scripture in this next verse. And the most amazing thing is that the Lord is going to say yes. Verse 18, then Moses said, show me your glory. Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may go stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So this is something that even Moses can't see. And this brings up one of the most fascinating and interesting aspects of God in all of Scripture. Because God says, no one can see my face and live. And in the Gospel of John, John reiterates this passage that no one has seen God in any time and lived. But then he goes on to say, but Jesus, we saw him face to face. He is God. I mean, this is me paraphrasing John chapter 1, of course. But the gist is, no one's ever seen God face to face, yet we did. We saw Jesus face to face, and Jesus is God. How can this be? It's a mystery. And this is one of those mysteries where we'll definitely get to see God face to face in eternity. But how this worked for the apostles and how it works for us today, that we have access to the very face of God, like no one else in history did because of Jesus, is truly amazing. It's truly fascinating. I believe that we have access to ask something similar to what Moses asked here. Now we know as it's coming up, and I hope and pray that you've been reading and rereading the book of Exodus as we go through this. One of the most powerful aspects of the study is that you read it 10 times in 10 weeks and you just keep getting it in you over and over and over again. Incredibly powerful. But we're going to find out that the Lord is actually going to do this, and Moses is going to see a part. I mean, he's going to see God's back. I mean, as strange as that sounds, when else has that happened? What an amazing book this is. I pray that you've been blessed by this study. I pray that you've been engaging with it. And we've come to the end of chapter 33. So until next time, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, for the 10-week Bible study. I can't wait to see you.